We have just noticed with you in our last broadcast the illustration of the fact that salvation is by grace. For Rahab indeed was a trophy of the grace of God. As we closed our broadcast, we were meditating upon the fact that Rahab is an illustration, too, of the great truth that salvation is not only by grace, but by faith. Perhaps you remember, we called to your attention Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where we read, "And before they were laid down," that is the spies, "she," Rahab, "came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon all of us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." This, we said, was an expression of faith. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I know. Here were two men who had so little influence and authority that their lives were in her hands. It couldn't have been what she knew upon the basis of appearances. It had to be on the basis of faith. And that is exactly what the idea is involved in the word know. Because the word know is the translation of a Hebrew word which means to recognize by means of experience that a thing is true. This is faith. This was faith. I know, she said. I'm interested in another thought that is suggested in the paragraph. Where did the faith come from? I said that there was no prophet for her to listen to. I said that there was no instruction given her as was given the Israelites. How did she know? Where did the faith come from? Well, I want to ask you to keep a marker here in Joshua chapter 2 and turn with me to Romans 10 as I remind you of where all faith comes from. I said it is a gift of God. It is. But I don't mean by that, certainly, that God is going to let a great blast of light come down out of heaven and knock you to the ground, as he did the Apostle Paul. Where does faith come from? Well, in Romans chapter 10, notice verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing God's word. It comes from hearing the message about God. When the word of God is presented, then faith is engendered. And that's the reason it is important, friend, to get people under the sound of God's word. It isn't really important for them to agree with you. It isn't really important for you to get a name on a dotted line or an avowal of a decision as you speak. Because oftentimes, when you and I are pleading for a decision is impossible because there is no faith to bring it about. But if you get folk under the sound of the word of God, then faith is born. Back to Joshua chapter 2, I would like for you to notice with me again verses 9 and 10. She said in verse 9, "I know the Lord hath given you the land." What did she base her knowledge upon? Well, look at verse 10. "For we have heard." Isn't that what we learned in Romans chapter 10? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things," she speaks for her people and for herself, "our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." That was the testimony she had to give for her countrymen, for her kinsmen. But the last part of the verse is the testimony she gave for herself. Notice the words, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So you see, it's not enough to hear. It's necessary to hear, to believe. All of her countrymen heard, and the only thing it did for them was to scare them to death. That's all. But for her, it resulted in salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. You hear the truth, and you believe it. That leads us to suggest another thing that would be good for us to learn about salvation, and that is confession and concern represent the fruit of salvation. If there is no fruit of one's relationship with Christ, now listen very carefully to what I say so you won't misunderstand. If there is no fruit of one's salvation, then you have a right to question the validity of it. Did you notice what I said? You have a right to question the validity of it. You do not have the right to judge. You do not have the right to go about relegating people to hell or shoving them into heaven on the basis of what they say or do. But if there is no fruit of one's relationship with Christ, then you have the right to question the validity of their relationship. So this story speaks not only for the means of salvation, but it also speaks of the fruit of this relationship. By their fruits ye shall know them. Now there are many different kinds of fruits that we might expect to see in the life of an individual who came to know Christ. But the two which are referred to in this chapter, I believe, eventually, notice what I'm saying, the two which are referred to in this chapter eventually always will be forthcoming. One of them is confession. Yes, I believe that if a person has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, eventually he will confess. Now the interesting thing to me is wondering how long it was before Rahab confessed. If you examine the passage of Scripture very carefully, you will realize that she had heard and believed 40 years before this time. She heard and believed 40 years before this time, but I wonder if she confessed before this time. It would be interesting to know, wouldn't it? It may be she never had an occasion to confess other than to the Lord. You see, that's the reason why we say your salvation is not dependent upon your salvation, on your confession, because it takes it out of the realm of grace and puts it into the realm of works. If you confess and say you must confess before you are saved, other than to the Lord. Yet, I personally am of the opinion that Rahab had confessed before this time, and this is just an opinion, and consequently it is not worth any more than your opinion. Whenever we give you something from God's Word, it must be accepted, whether you accept us or not. But opinions are debatable. The reason that I feel that she must have confessed is that when the intelligence service of the king of Jericho discovered that these two men were in the city, they knew right where to look for them. They went immediately to the house of Rahab. They didn't even ask her if the men were there. They said, "Where are they?" There was no doubt in their minds that she had them. Well, of course, she deceived them, and they were rather gullible to believe. But I am of the opinion that the reason that they went directly to her was that she had spread the word around that she believed, that she had said in so many words, "Well, those Israelites are coming, and I believe that the God of Israel is God, and I personally, am going to worship him." I dare say, if you had been able to visit the idol temples there in Jericho, you would not have seen Rahab, because she had come to know Christ as her Savior, and a confession was the fruit of her relationship with Christ. And let me emphasize again what I have said several times over. Though we are studying the Old Testament, we are using New Testament terms for the matter of simplicity. Now, will you keep a marker here in Joshua chapter 2? Familiarize yourself again with the verses found in Romans chapter 10. Review them in your mind and recognize how pertinent they are to our discussion. What do we read there? "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We have pointed out to you before that the word confession cannot be a basic thing upon which anything can hinge, because it is a word that is used more often of confession to God than confession to man. But confession is there, and Rahab was fulfilling verse 10 of this paragraph when she confessed to these men that she believed in God, that she believed in the God of Israel, and was willing to follow where he led. Yes, the fruit of salvation is confession. And as we pointed out to you, the fruit of salvation is concern. Concern? Concerned about what? Concern for whom? Well, let's go back to Joshua chapter 2, and let me suggest to you that the concern which Rahab had was real. It was for her loved ones. And this speaks to me, as much as anything else does, of her real relationship to God. Did you notice in Joshua 2, verse 12, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." You see, had she been a selfish person in the natural state, she could have asked for a guarantee for her safety. But she made no difference between herself and her loved ones. I wonder, how concerned are you for those of your loved ones who don't really know Christ? Oh, of course, if I were to ask you, do you want your loved ones to go to hell? You would say, certainly not. I don't want them to go to hell. But how concerned are you about them? How much time have you spent in interceding in their behalf? How much effort have you put forth to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We have to live with those questions, friends, if we have unsaved loved ones.